Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
Vanitzak al Hashem Elokei Aviseinu. So they cried out, or we cried out, to the God of our fathers. Now, as the Baal HaTosfa say, here, the Baal HaHaggadah brings the next pasuk that we used to say when we brought Bikurim, and he's going to actually carefully dismember the pasuk and explain each detail of what it means. So first, let's take a look at the pasuk, the entire pasuk, and then we're going to analyze the Vanitzak. The verse, which is found in Deuteronomy, says, Vanitzak Hashem Elokei Aviseinu. We cried out to the God of our fathers, the God of our fathers, Yishma Hashem es Kreleinu. God heard our cries. Vayar es Anyenu, Vyes Amaleinu, Vyes Lachatzenu. He saw our suffering, he saw our labor, our burden, and Lachatzenu, the pressure or oppression that we suffered. That's the pasuk. The Ma'am Loyaz in his Agada says that this pasuk, Vanitzak al Hashem, is a general lesson. That whenever things are really bad, we're supposed to call out. That's what we're supposed to do. That's the Jewish response. When things are really bad, we don't say, well, stuff happens. Instead, the trufa is to cry out to Hashem, but not just talk. Talk is cheap. To cry out to Hashem means indeed to do tshuva and to return to Hashem, to add a ma'isim tevim, and that kind of cry is heard by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's number one. That's the first thing the Haggadah teaches us. We also see Vanitzak el Hashem. We don't just cry out to God, but we say, Elokei Aviseinu, to the God of our fathers. Says the Kli Yakar, if not for the merit of our ancestry, we would have a very small chance of getting our prayers listened to. But because we have Zechut Avot, that's why Hashem is ready to listen to our prayers. The truth is, in Mitzrayim, the Jewish people were in a very low level, and they were sinners and idolaters. So they called out to Hashem. They understood themselves that the way their prayers would be accepted was when they wouldn't just cry out to God, but they would cry out to God, to the God of their fathers, the God of their ancestors, invoking the concept of Zechus Avos. The Baal HaTurim develops this idea in a very interesting way. He says that when you take a look at the word na'akas, later we're going to say v'gamani shomati as na'akat b'nei Yisrael. So he says na'akat, the word na'akat, which means the cry, when you switch the letters with something called atbash, then you end up with the Hebrew letters tes, tof, dalet, aleph. Well, basically, this is how it works. Basically, atbash is a system in which aleph and tof are interchangeable. And then beis and shin are interchangeable. So you go to the two outer extremes of the aleph beis, and you keep exchanging letters. And in that way, you're able to read what we call a code. Or, you see beyond the immediate message. So he says, Ba'at Bash, it turns out to be the gematria, the numeric equivalent, so this is a code within a code, of the word Ha'avot, the fathers, to teach us that the merit of our prayers, or rather, in the merit of our ancestors, that's why Hashem responds to our prayers. Interestingly, with regard, it says, Vayishma Hashem is na'akasam. So the Baalei HaTosfos say that na'akasam is na'aktam, the cry of the plain one. And this refers to Yaakov specifically, as it says, Yaakov was called Ishtam, and Yaakov himself, who raised really the family of the Jewish people, the foundation of Am Yisrael, which is the tribes, the Shvatim, that he cried out to the Jewish people when they cried out to Hashem. And there is a notion that the Medrash says that when the Jewish people cried out to Hashem, our ancestry cried out together with us. Now, it's brought down in the Haggadah of Rishonim that it says the word af. It says, Vanitzak al Hashem Elokei Aviseinu. And then it says, Hashem heard our prayers. And then when we start to look at the details, we say, Vanitzak al Hashem Elokei Aviseinu, as it is written, Vayanchu bnei Yisrael ben Havayda. So this idea is that not only were we, the Jewish people, crying out to Hashem, but our ancestors felt our pain and they prayed in heaven as well. And that's why Hashem responded to our prayers. All right, so this is just a general overview of the pasuk, of the verse, Vanitzak Hashem Elokei Aviseinu. This is what the Jewish people did. They cried out, and the result was that Hashem listened. Hashem heard their cries. So now the Haggadah is going to analyze this pasuk in detail. Take that pasuk from Devarim, and as we were doing before, taking the psukim from the special formula that's read with the Bikurim, in which we recount what happened, and we thank Hashem for having been taken out of Mitzrayim and brought to Eretz Yisrael. The pasuk now says, let's take a look just at the first five words. Vanitzak el Hashem elikev esenu. We cried out to God, the God of our fathers. Let's take a look at those five words. Let's augment and further clarify what that means. So here, we quote now a pasuk from Shemot, which is what we did in the previous class. We did the same thing. Take a pasuk from Deuteronomy, a pasuk from Devarim, from Atzeret Bikurim, and we analyze the specifics. So, Vanitzak el Hashem elikev esenu. We cried out to Hashem. When Moshe Rabbeinu give this recapitulation of what happened in Mitzrayim, so let's go back to the original story, K'mosha Nemar, as it is written. In other words, where does it say we cried out to Hashem? And when we look at the pasuk that says we cried out to Hashem, we'll find out more details of what exactly that means. Okay, so the pasuk is found in Exodus in the second chapter, the 23rd verse. It says, Vayehi bayomim harabim haheim. It came to pass during those many days, or that's literal, but really many years. Vayomos melech Mitzrayim, the king of Egypt died. Vayonchu b'nei Yisrael ben ha'aveda, the Jewish people groaned because of the labor. Vayizaku, and they cried out. Vatal shavosam, and their prayerful cry ascended el ho'elikim, all the way to God min ha'aveda, from the hard work which caused them to cry, which caused them to daven to Hashem. Okay, so this pasuk now from Exodus, let's take a careful look at it, let's try to understand. We're explaining the meaning of Anitzak, so we're going to talk about the conditions that created this prayer. What made them daven suddenly? Why did they cry out to Hashem? So the first thing we know is, Vayihi bayomim harabim ahim. Many years came to pass. And because many years came to pass, this was a reason that they cried out to Hashem. Why is that a reason to cry out to Hashem? Because many years come to pass. What does it mean? So the Medrash says, on the words, Vayihi bayomim harabim mehem, that you should know that this, of course, refers to the Jewish peoples being in a situation where they did not seem to find any respite, and things were getting continuously worse. The understanding is that Moshe Rabbeinu leaves the land of Mitzrayim. In the beginning, he helped them. He was, so to speak, behind the lines. He was in the palace. He was able to speak on their behalf, to advocate on their behalf, but then he kills the Egyptian, and he has to run away because the Pharaoh puts a death sentence on his head. So Moshe Rabbeinu runs away, and because he runs away, he's no longer there. As he's not in the picture, things get continuously worse. So like the Nishanim say, that this has to be, the Balad the Rashbam says it has to be approximately somewhere between the time of Moshe running away to Moshe returning when he's 80 years old. Somewhere between the age of 20 and 40, he says, Moshe ran away. Somewhere between that age. So this Yomim Harabim is either, we're talking about, somewhere between 40 to 60 years of very, very difficult and painful situation where the Jewish people felt this unbelievable duress. So somewhere along this point where this unbelievable pressure is being applied, and we're going to assume, let's assume that it's somewhere like in those 40 to 50 years before the Geula, before the Exodus from Mitzrayim. Now, why do we call it Yomim Rabim? Okay, that's a biblical expression that oftentimes we call days, we refer to years as days. But why do we refer to them as many days? Why don't you say Shanim? Shanim is years. Why do we have to use many days? So the Medrash is actually troubled with this also. And therefore the Medrash says the following. Vayihi bayomim harabim ahem, yomim shel tsar hayu. There were days of pain. Lefichach, because there were days of pain, kodeisim rabim, he calls them many. And then the Medrash brings a fascinating verse, which on the surface is very hard to understand the connection, that talks about a situation of menstruation. And in biblical, from the biblical perspective, there's two kinds of menstruation. So it says, Ve'isha ki yozov zoiv damim, yamim rabim, when a woman experiences a non-normal menstrual flow, which is many days. So the Medrash says, "Lafi shahayu shel tzar," because there are also days which are associated with pain, "Kaira oisam rabim," they are called many. What is this Medrash saying? What is he saying? He says, you know why they're called many days? Because there were days of pain. What do you mean? They're called many days. You're talking about 40 years, maybe 60 years. I said it's a couple of Mondays. That's like many days. So the understanding, the Chizkuni explains the Medrash. He says, you have to understand that when things are good, the days go by very quickly. How do we know this? Because it says that Yaakov Avinu worked for the hand of Rachel. He worked for 7 years. And it says, "Vayihiu be'einav k'yomim achadim." It's like a few days. Ba'ahavasi yosya, because he loved her, because he was happy. Like the Mefarshim say, he was happy that he was making Rachel's life easier. She used to be the shepherdess. Now he took over. He felt good about that. He felt good that he was working towards being able to build his life. He was happy about what he was doing, and because he was happy, he had satisfaction from what he was doing. So therefore, they're called yomim achadim, a few days. Yomim Rabim is not just a description of many years. I mean, you could ask the question, what is many years? Just say an amount of years. Vayhi b'shishim shana, vayhi b'arboim shana, 40 years, 50 years. How could you have many? What does many mean? Many is it's all relative. So what does it say? It's instead of revealing anything, it's actually concealing. It doesn't communicate, doesn't say anything. So the Medrash says it's saying something very profound. It's telling us it doesn't matter how many years this was, it doesn't matter how many days it was. It was a long time. Why was it a long time? Because there were days of misery. That's the meaning of the Medrash. So when you have a situation where you're unhappy, where you're not fulfilled, and you don't have satisfaction, it's a long time. It's many days. Now, if you remember, in the last class we learned that the Jewish people were doing work that they had no satisfaction in because they were working where the land was sinking. The ground was sinking. They would build buildings. The buildings would collapse, sometimes with them inside. And many people, they were dying from the construction. So they had no sense of satisfaction. They were getting nowhere. They were doing nothing. They didn't have anything they could take pride in. As the Ma'am Loy says, "Kisha'odam nehene," when a person enjoys or has some kind of benefit, "V'u'asik b'malachta," he's doing, "Hayomim nirim k'tzarim o'y," the days go by very quickly. Because you're making a difference, you're effective. Even if in fact they're very long. Why? Shakua b'sipukai, because a person is immersed in satisfaction, and therefore it leaks easy. Kishadam shari b'tzar, when you're in pain, he says, "Kol yoim nira be'ein of kishana." Every day is like a year, because it's days of misery, and that's how the Jewish people felt. Hirgishu b'tzar gadol yosim mikol hashanim. They had been in Mitzrayim for 210 years. They had been in a bad situation for decades already. When Moshe Rabbeinu was born, baby was being thrown into the river. In fact, Moshe Rabbeinu himself ends up in the river. So that's 20 years before, or maybe 40 years before. So why suddenly now do we say, "Vayihi b'yomim harabim"? And the answer is because at this time, the duress and the pressure and the agony and the pain became so intense, every day felt like a year. Everything was a lot. They could see the outlook was so bleak. There was no hope. There was no future. So therefore, they had this deep-seated sense of despair. And from that despair, when all else fails, then they started davening. They finally turned to Hashem. Now, it's important for us also to point out that Bayomim Harabim Ahim has something to do with the fact that they made a calculation. And the calculation that they made was that we were supposed to be in Mitzrayim for 400 years, and they made a calculation from the time of Brit Bein Habsarim, which is the covenant of the parts. That's when Hashem told Avram Avinu, "Your children will go into Mitzrayim, and there, in the Mitzrayim, it says, in a land that is not theirs, and there they'll be subjugated to all kinds of torment, all kinds of difficulty." So the Jewish people, there were some wise ones amongst them, they made the calculation. We know who we are, we know who our ancestors are. We talked about last week, they kept their language, they kept their identity. They knew they had a background. So they made the calculation, and they said, "Okay, it's Bris Bein Habsarim has come and gone. Nothing doing." Now, actually, this means it's the last 25 years. According to this Medrash, it's the last 25 years because Avram Avinu is 75 years old at the time of Bris Bein Habsarim. And really, the 400 years begins from the birth date of Yitzchak. Yitzchak Avinu was born on Pesach. So that means they miscalculated by 25 years. And there is actually a story told to us that there was a group of Jews who made the calculation and decided to rebel. They were called the Bnei Ephraim. And they escaped from Egypt. And they were massacred by the Amalekites in Gaza. And that is the reason that later when the Jewish people came out of Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to take them through the Philadelphia corridor, the natural way from Mitzrayim, because he said they would see the corpses that were left, the unburied corpses, tens of thousands of Jews who were slaughtered, and they would see their skeletons and say, uh-oh, we're going back to Egypt. So therefore Hashem takes them in a roundabout way rather than taking them the direct way, and they never go straight up into the land of Israel. In fact, they come to the land of Canaan all the way in the end in a whole circuitous way. They go all the way out east, and then they head north until they come, until they turn west, and they enter Israel from the area above what we call the Yam HaMelech, right from the Jordan River. So this was the calculation they made. And since the calculation came and went, they said, that's it. Now we're hopeless. Until now we nursed this hope. Okay, time's going to come. You're going to be redeemed. Yosef HaTzadik, he left him with this meshed. Pakad Yifkid Dalikim, Hashem's going to remember you. Pakad Pekadati, he's going to say, I remember you, say I take you out. And all of a sudden, now there's no hope. Now the truth is an interplay between these two midrashim. Because we talked here not about the physical pain only, and it wasn't just an issue of the material duress, it was a question of how they felt psychologically. They were totally demoralized at this point. So when you have hope, even if you're in a bad situation, you know it's going to be good in a month, in a year, in 2 years. You have a date, there's an expiration date in this. But the moment all of a sudden the expiration date came and went, and there's no changes, which by the way was also Pesach, Bris Ben Bessarah was on Pesach, and now they're past that. So these last 25 years, they were taking forever. And because these last 25 years were taking forever, so the Jewish people cried out to Hashem. But 1 second. The Pasuk doesn't just say they cried out to Hashem. The Pasuk says, Vayhi bayamim harabim ahim. Now we understand what those many years are. Then the Pasuk says, Vayomas melech Mitzrayim. The king of Egypt died. Well, if the king of Egypt died, what's the problem? Why would they cry out because of that? Maybe they should have celebrated. Why would the death of a Hitler, a Stalin, or a Bin Laden cause anybody pain? On the contrary. This is phew, little respite. But that's part of it. That's part of it. We say, let's take a look. We want to look. Till we get to the word vayizaku, till we get to the word that they cried, first they groaned. But what did they groan from? Hayomim arabim ahim. We understand that. Vayamas melech Mitzrayim. This is totally not understood. Why would that be a cause for them to cry? There are many different answers that are given, and I'm going to share with you a selection of those different answers. So in Haggadah Shara Shemayim, it says, in the name of Rashi. So you heard this from Rashi, or heard it from somebody who heard it from Rashi. That when the king died, all of the people of Mitzrayim, the entire citizenry of Egypt, they mourned. They mourned the loss, the death of the king. Somebody who wouldn't mourn would be considered rebellious. It's an affront to the king. And therefore, everybody had to go out and cry. Something similar, they say at Stalin's funeral, the KGB was watching who didn't come. Anybody who didn't go to the funeral got into big trouble. It was like frozen, like who knows how many below zero over there, and people froze after death. But if they weren't going to be there, then this was going to be, you know, the beloved leader. Everybody has to show that they care. So all of Egypt is crying and wailing and weeping. Their sovereign, their king has died. The hero is dead. The Jewish people are also sobbing and wailing and weeping. But they're not sobbing, wailing, or weeping because the king died. They're sobbing and wailing and weeping because they have what to cry about. They're talking about their situation. And that's why it says the Haggadah Shara Shemayim, Vayanchu bnei Yisrael min ha'aveda. What were they crying from? I mean, why do you have to tell me what they're crying from? Isn't it obvious what they're crying from? They have what to cry about. So he says no, because everybody around them thought that they were crying because the king died. That's what everybody's doing. And they were crying, as it says, he says later on, it says, Vayeda elikim. We're going to learn about this later. God knew. What does it mean, God knew? Hashem knows what's in the heart of every single one. So Hashem understood, really. Hashem knew the real reason that they're crying. They weren't weeping or mourning the loss of the Pharaoh. Instead, they were crying because of the circumstances, but superficially, it wasn't visible. which explains to us why the Jewish people didn't cry out before. And actually, there's a Medrash that says that the Jewish people gathered together and they had massive prayer rallies. So it's not done quietly. It says, Vanitzak, we cried out together. It says, Vayizaku. Vayizaku is plural. Surely people groaned and kvetched all along quietly. But until they came together to pray, they did not storm the heavens. But when they came united as a single front and they cried out together, that's when all of a sudden things start to change. They never could have made such a rally. They never had an opportunity to come together. Until Vayomas Melech Mitzrayim, this was the perfect storm. They were allowed to come. They were allowed to wail. And they were wailing. They knew why they were wailing. The Egyptians didn't know why they were wailing. So that's one explanation, which makes a lot of sense. Now you understand that the conditions were ripe. It was so terrible. And the king died. Perfect. Now they could cry. The Ma'am Loya says that even though up until this point they suffered terribly, but they were afraid to cry out because the taskmasters didn't let them cry. Or as we understand it to be a prayer rally, they were forbidden to do such things. They had to say how wonderful the Pharaoh was. They had to thank the Pharaoh for his largesse and his generosity on a regular basis. So the greatest pain is when you can't even cry out. Not only you're suffering, you're not allowed to say you're suffering. You have to go tell everybody it's wonderful, which is how it was in communist Russia. If a guest would come, you had to tell them how great it was. You know, the subway stations are beautiful, the hotels are beautiful, and you weren't allowed to go to where private people lived. That's the real oppression. So Ma'am Leah says, but now, along the same idea of the Shaar Shamayim, that's why they were able to cry out. So this is why, now we understand this is one reason, one approach. Which obviously you see is, Ma'am Leah didn't talk to Rashi, right? So it's what, Sephardic land, Ashkenazic land, everybody had this same tradition. The Chizkuni says, as long as the king was alive, they had hope that the king would die, and with him would die his evil plans. And he says, in fact, that's usually what happens. Many times when a king dies, the political prisoners are set free. So they had hope. That was what they're waiting for. They're waiting for the old, sick Pharaoh to die, and they said, there's going to be respite. What happened? The king died, and not only did things not get better, they started to get worse. So at this point, their last of hopes had given out. That's why they started to cry out publicly. So once again, this is a different explanation, but it explains the words. It says, Vayihivi Yomer Ab Mahim, we understand. Vayomas Melech Mitzrayim, why would that be a reason? That was a reason because that was their hope they were holding out for. And in the end, that hope didn't pan out, so they began to cry. Rabbeinu Bechaya says, there's the devil you know, and the devil you don't know. And the devil you don't know is even scarier. So this devil they figured out, this monster. But Rabbeinu Bechaya and the Tzera Mor say, then he died. They said, oh no. Who even knows? They can't even imagine what the next devil is going to look like. So therefore, that's why they started to cry. That's when they totally lost it. And the Balaturim, Alatera, as well as the Haggadah of the Rashbats, he says that the Jewish people somehow hoped that the next king would be better. It wasn't a question of devil they didn't know. They actually hoped the king, that was their hope. But when that hope not only did not pan out, when things got even worse, so then became a whole hell breaks loose and the Jewish people start to cry out and call out Hashem. There's a Haggadah called Pirush Kadmon, and he suggests a radically different approach to all of this. Totally different approach. He says, okay, fine, so we had this idea, they couldn't cry out till now they could cry out, but there seems to be an emphasis still on the king's dying. Why is that important for us to know? He says, because you should know that up until this point, the persecution was physical, material persecution. There was no duress applied to assimilate the people spiritually. At this point, he says, the new Pharaoh decided not only would he torment the people physically, but he forced them to worship idols. He forced them to forego the little bit of Yiddishkeit that they had, they were holding on to. And once they lost that, then they lost everything. Then they had no hope left. They took that away from them too. That was the reason they started to cry. He says something very interesting. The Pirush Kadmon says that the old Pharaoh, he still remembered Joseph. So he felt a little bit, he had some kind of guilt, some kind of pangs of conscience. But this new king, Yochim Melech Chodosh, what does it mean? He forced them to become assimilated. And therefore they cried out in the pain of having to sever themselves from their past, from Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, from Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. All right, so we have a number of different explanations now, which help you to appreciate why the Jewish people cried out because the king died. The Medrash gives us an entirely different explanation. All of this that I said now is along the line, the literal lines, reading the pasuk of literally that he died. The Medrash says, do you know what it means, V'yamas Melech Mitzrayim? Doesn't mean literally. It's a euphemism. Shenitztara, that he became stricken with leprosy. V'hametzayra choshev kemes, the metzayra is likened to one who is dead. As it says, al no tehi kemes, which is when Miriam becomes stricken with tzaras, Aaron says to Moshe, let her sister not be like the dead. You must pray for her that she should be healed. And the Medrash also brings a pasuk in Yeshayahu that it says, b'shnas mois hamelech Uziyahu. And in fact, Uziyahu didn't die. But what is Yeshayahu talking about? He's talking about when Uziyahu became stricken with leprosy because he started off with the kahuna. Okay, so who cares if he got leprosy? That still doesn't explain anything. Do I care if he's miserable, he's sick? Oh, v'yanchu b'nei Yisrael. Well, here's what happens, says the Medrash. The Chartumim Mitzrayim came to the Pharaoh and they said to him, the only way that you'll be healed is if you bathe in the blood of Jewish babies. So every single day, they confiscated 150 babies every morning and they slaughtered the babies and filled a bathtub for the Pharaoh. And every evening, they confiscated 150 babies, pulling babies from their mother's bosom, pulling them out of the parents' arms, and they slaughtered these babies and squeezed their blood into a bathtub, and the Pharaoh took a bath. Do you understand why they cried out now? The Medrash says that this was too much. This totally shattered and broke the people, and they began to groan. They couldn't take it anymore. Till now, they kept swallowing and kept, you know, they just internalized the pain. At this point, it reached a breaking point of wailing and crying that just shattered the people altogether. And the Medrash actually says that you shouldn't understand it just as it's not just a zaka, but really it's lashon kina. They were wailing, they were mourning. They weren't just groaning, they weren't just crying. They were actually totally melted down at this point. So now we understand why the Haggadah has to say the words. And then these are the horrible circumstances, a variety of different ways to understand this. Min ha'aveda, finally one last midrashic teaching, which is brought down also in the Balei HaTosfos, that they were forced to build babies into the wall. The missing bricks, they were forced to stuff human beings to fill the quota of bricks. And human beings were crushed in buildings, crying out. So that's min ha'aveda. This was such an unbelievable cruelty, such a pain, such a suffering, that they cried out min ha'aveda from the work site. The cries, the buildings were crying, the buildings were heaving and crying, and that's why they cried out to Hashem. Now it's interesting to note that all these cries did not become because they had a yearning for godliness or they wanted to do tshuva. They were crying, pashut, from physical pain. So this very interesting statement from the Rebbe Maharash, the fourth Rebbe, Rebbe Shmuel, which is brought down in Hayom Yom, interestingly enough, on the third day of Tammuz. In Hayom Yom, it says like this, that a Yiddish groan, a Yid groans to Hashem, even if it's prompted by a physical misfortune. So the Rebbe Maharash said this is a great act of tshuva. And certainly, if it's a groan that's prompted because a person feels that his spiritual status is not the way it should be, and then that's a short effect of tshuva. And the Rebbe said that a groan pulls him out of the depths of evil and places him on a firm footing in the realm of goodness. So the question is, what does that mean? And how would we be able to understand the idea of the Jewish groan, the groaning of the Yidden that came out over here? So the Rebbe gave a very interesting explanation once. He said that when people do things which are wrong, they generally respond in one of three ways. First thing is, I didn't do anything. Me? Just denial altogether. The second thing a person will say, well, I know. Well, it's true, I did something wrong, but you know, if you would be in my shoes, you probably would have done five times as worse. You would have done much, much worse than I. And anyway, look at my situation. Could God even blame me? Because look at my circumstances. I can't be faulted for this. If God would make things easier and better, so then I wouldn't do it. If God has to do tshuva, not I have to do tshuva. And the third thing is, a person could even admit that he did the wrong thing. But we have self-love, self-delusion. Because I did the wrong thing, so what? So what? We could even acknowledge you did the wrong thing. All right, whatever. I choose not to focus on it. Which, by the way, is how we're supposed to love another yid. All these three approaches are very good approaches for us to look at somebody else. Look at somebody and say, he did something wrong? I didn't even notice. And even if he did, vey yizmir, if I would be in his shoes, who knows what I would do? I can't judge him. And anyway, I love him. He's my brother or sister, my fellow yid. So I love him, so I can't look at him in a bad way. This is very, very good for your perspective on others. Very bad for your perspective on yourself. So what happens to a person in any of these three situations? They don't change. Nothing changes. Let's put it into different syntax. The addict goes through three periods. Number one is the denial. I'm not addicted. Number two is, well, I'm a little addicted. But you know, look at the pressure I was under. Could you even blame me for being? It's not a bad thing. I'm an addict. And anyway, it's your fault. It's the other one's fault. Everybody's fault. And the third thing is, I'm addicted, so what? So what? You know how addicts change? When they hit rock bottom. Rock bottom is when everything crashes. You know, it's like when there's a total meltdown, then a person can start a new life all over again. You get out of the situation. The Jewish people groaned. At this point, they've just melted down altogether. There was nothing left of them. And at that point, when they melted down altogether and there's nothing left of them, and they cried out to Hashem, that is what inspired God, so to speak. And that's what brought forth the miraculous deliverance and the transformation that came, may afela gedela, from great darkness into the great light of Geula, the Exodus, the Yetziah Mimitzrayim. Now, when we say that they cried out min ha'aveda, it says, Vatal shavasam el ha'alikim, their cries, their prayerful cries, reached, even though it was prompted by the hard work, it rose up to God. In other words, so to speak, it inspired a response from God. First thing is that the prayers have to reach. But after we know the prayers are reaching, so then, Vatal shavasam, at this point, we say, there's going to be a transformation. Hashem all of a sudden starts to listen. There's an interesting Medrash Seicheltev that says, just by the way, it's some interesting thing, that when they were doing this to the firstborn, to babies, they were looking for firstborn babies specifically. That was the big thing in their demented, twisted, perverted, idolatrous perspective. They said, you have to have the blood of babies, but only firstborn babies. So imagine, firstborn, a new mother, pull a baby out of her hands and slaughter the baby. And that's why Hashem killed the firstborns of the Egyptians. That was the retribution, and that's why the firstborns, that's why there's a whole big emphasis on the firstborns. It's just interesting, gives you a little perspective. So the Or HaChaim says, you would think if a person does tshuva, cries out to Hashem with sincerity, then Hashem is going to listen. Says the Or HaChaim, oh no. When did Hashem listen to the Jewish people? When they cried. And what did they cry? Vatal shavosam. Their prayerful cries ascended. It reached the very heaven. Even though it was evoked, even though it was prompted by the hard work. It says, Vatal shavosam, elulikim, minu aveda. Yes, from their laboring, from their suffering, from their difficulty. That's sufficient, which is really in essence, same thing that Rebbe Marash is saying, a yiddish krecht, right? A groan from a situation, even if it's from a physical, material lack, it's still a very powerful thing. The Medrash HaGadol says, it says, Vayizaku, Vatal Shavasam. He says, there's three different terminologies which I use. We use Zaka, which is a cry, Shava, which is a prayerful cry, and Naka, which is like a groan. So he says, this is because Zaka, they took all their wealth. says the sha'ava was from shibud, from the pain. The na'aka, the groan, was from the killing of their babies. So he said, basically, it took everything away from somebody. It took away their health, they took away their money, it took away their nachas. As you say, we say, gesund nachas parnasa, right? Bana chaya mezeina. Bana is children, chaya is health, mezeina is prosperity. The Egyptians robbed the Jewish people of everything. They had nothing left. And nothing left, and they were totally broken down. And at that point, Hashem heard the cries of sent heavenward. And what happens? This prompts a response. Vayishma Hashem eskeleinu. Hashem heard our voice. That's the next part of the pasuk. Remember that we so elegantly kind of just dismembered, we're taking it apart, we're taking our watch apart, and put it back together. Okay, so the first pasuk, the first part of the pasuk was Vanitzak el Hashem elikei aveseinu. We took those five words and we explained those five words. Now we're going to take the next five words, next four words, which is Vayishma Hashem eskeleinu. God listened to our voice. What does that mean? What does that mean that he listened to our voice? Where do you see that? In what way is it conveyed to us that he listened to our voice? So we go from the pasuk now in Devarim, Kamosh and Emor. Let's go to the pasuk in Shmos. It says clearly, when the pasuk is describing in real time what's happening in Mitzrayim, it says Vayishma Elikim is Nakasam. God heard those groans. Vayizkor Elikim is Briso. God remembers his covenant. Es Avraham, Abraham, Es Yitzchak, Isaac, V.S. Yaakov, and Jacob. So in case you're wondering, so that's not fair. it says over here that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, what happened to Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah? So the Baalei HaTosfos say, it says, Vayizkor Es Brisei. It could have just said, Vayizkor Brisei. What's Es Brisei? Es Avraham, Es Yitzchak, V'es Yaakov. So it's words four times the word Es. Et. What's the four times Et? Et Avraham, Et Yitzchak, Et Yaakov. So he said that corresponds to the matriarchs, the power behind the throne, the ones who really charted the course of history. Avraham was in the front, but really who decided how everything would go? Sarah Imenu. Yitzchak for sure didn't make any decisions. The whole destiny of Jewish people, it's all Rivka. So that's the et, the four times, is encoded the message of the patriarchs as well. Now, it says, Vayishma alikim eskoleinu, he hears our voice, as it says, Hashem heard na'akasam, Vayizkor alikim is brisei. So the Baalei HaTosfos say that means it's not a separate thing. It's not Hashem heard our groans and Hashem remembered. The Baalei HaTosfos say, understand that the idea of Vayishma alikim is na'akasam is directly linked to Vayizkor alikim, that Hashem heard this bizchus avos, in the merit of the patriarchs. Which means the following. Our cries made a big difference, along with the merit of the patriarchs, along with the merit of the matriarchs, along with our past. So we're not just crying on our own. When a yid cries out, it can make a big difference, not just because it's his cries. Your cries are the catalyst. Your cries would bring about what was always supposed to happen. So a person could say, I should cry. I should say, who am I? Who am I to, Hashem's going to listen to me? They say, yeah, because you know who you are? You are the child, the descendant. You have within you the spirituality and the promise of eternity. You have within you the patriarchs, the matriarchs. That's who you are. Therefore, it shouldn't look at you as you alone. And actually, very interestingly, Rabbeinu Bachaya says that even though the time would come for redemption, the people didn't deserve it. They didn't deserve it. So what made them get it? And he says the answer is they cried. He cried. When a yid cries out, it's meaningful. There's a medrash that says that it was a tragedy and many soldiers died of David HaMelech because they didn't cry out to Hashem and demand the Beis HaMikdash be built. They were at peace with no Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis Yosef says, in Eretz Chaim, in chapter 188, he says, the Jewish people will not be redeemed from Golos until they confess their sins and demand from Hashem Malchus Shemayim. Demand from Hashem the restoration of Malchus Beis David and the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, this doesn't mean we come with chutzpah and we tell God what to do. It means the Haggadah is telling us that when we cry out to Hashem with sincerity, even if the sincerity is caused for other reasons, even if there are a variety of different events, a kaleidoscope of events that happen to be arranging themselves, bringing pressure to bear from all sides, which causes us to cry out, when we cry out to Hashem, b'schus ha'avos, b'schus in the merit of the covenant, and b'schus of our ancestry, that's what brings Mashiach. You know, there's a famous metaphor that Rebbe always used to quote, that we are kananas agabe anok. We're like a midget on the shoulders of a giant. He says, the Mashiach will come for us. He didn't come for them. How will he come for us? The answer is because we're not really just us. We're standing on their shoulders. And therefore, it's accumulative. Good is accumulative. And you know what you need to push it over the edge? Says the Beis Yosef. You got to cry. You got to call out to Hashem. So we therefore have this is what the Rebbe wanted. This is what the Rebbe was talking about. In the last years of his terrestrial lifetime, urging and begging and cajoling that we should scream Admasai, that we should scream to Hashem, we can't take Golos anymore. Don't make peace with the Golos. Well, it's what is the will of God. That the Jewish people didn't say that in Mitzrayim, and thank God they didn't say that. It was because they cried out, because they couldn't take it anymore. There's a Medrash that says that all of this was arranged by God so that they should cry out. They weren't crying out. Things got worse and worse and worse. So therefore, he put them in this horrific situation. And at that point, that was, they reached rock bottom, and they finally turned, okay, we're going to turn to God. When they finally turned to God and cried out to Hashem, that's when Hashem listened. That's when Hashem remembers the covenant. So this is something that we need to personalize. It's not just a story that happened once upon a time. This is a very important message for us, that we should understand that when we're crying out to Hashem, the crying out itself is what brings about this transformation. Although I have to say, it's not just b'schus avos. We see two sides here. It doesn't just say v'yizkir l'kim es brisei. It wasn't enough that Hashem remembered the covenant. It wasn't enough that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That wasn't enough. There had to be our merit also, and we had some merit. We didn't have really a levush of a mitzvah, as we learned last week. You needed to have the actual mitzvah to have a levush, but there was merit. What was the merit? We identified Jewishly. The Rebbe spoke in 1991, he spoke about the idea that the meaning of the Haftorah of Parshas Vayikra, Amzu Yotzarti Li, Tilasi Yisapedu, I formed this nation, they sing my praise. In other words, not that they will or they should, they do, just by very being. A very, very long and poignant, very, very emotional sikha, but I'll just share with you the kernel. One thing that Rebbe said was that after the Holocaust and after everything Jewish people have gone through, the fact that somebody is willing to identify Jewishly is in and of itself the biggest praise for Hashem. So they say, what was the merit of the Jewish people? They were sinners and all this. Yeah, they did all these things wrong. But as we learned last week, the Medrash says they identified Jewishly. They mimic some kind of Jewish behavior. Even just being ready to identify yourself as Jewish. So they had this chus. They cried out to Hashem with the whatever Jewish identity they had left. And then you had also this chus avos. So all of this together, that's what Hashem responded to. And that's when everything starts to change. As the Tzeret Hamar says, he says, in and of themselves, it's not sufficient. But he says, at the same time, they also have some merit, which in accumulatively, together with the merit of their ancestors, this brings about the redemption. He says, Hikiru b'maaseihem, ki adayin hayu b'hem k'tzas ma'asim tovim, they had some good deeds, therefore ra'uyim l'geula, and then, together with the schus avos and the bris, shaloch lehem Mashiach v'rav ne'eman, he sent them a savior, he sent them a trusted leader, as, of course, a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, this should be understood, the Rebbe used to say, on another level too. When we talk about Mitzrayim, we're not only talking about physical suffering, and we're not only talking about the reality of gashmius of the issues of corporeality or flesh, but there's also the whole spiritual element of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So if a Jew finds himself in a situation where not able to serve Hashem, or at least he feels he's not able to serve Hashem, and he feels himself so challenged in serving Hashem, and everything he's trying is going wrong, so what are you supposed to do? The answer is you cry out to Hashem. When you feel, mamash, you're getting pulled from all sides, all you want to do is do the right thing and everything's going wrong. That's a sign you have to cry out to Hashem. Together with the merit of ancestry and the cries that come out, this is what brings about a transformation of a reality for us. So it comes out, there was a number of different things. The Medrash Rabba says basically that all of these conditions came together at the same time to form what was what we're going to call a ripe environment for redemption. There was the oppression, which as the Medrash says, brought the Jewish people to cry out. Then there was their tshuva, which is, they actually cried out to Hashem. There's the merit of, the schus avos, the merit of avos and imoes. And then it says Hashem had mercy on us. And then, of course, it says, we're going to learn later that the time came, v'yeda Hashem, it was a time, the appointed time. So all of these things together, that's what brought about the geula of Yeshua, that's what brought about the redemption for our ancestors in those days. And it's not unreasonable to suggest that we, in the present time, have to internalize this message, and we have to respond appropriately. We have to realize that all the challenges and the difficulties that we're having as a nation, as a people, has to bring us to tshuva. It has to inspire us to reach out to Hashem. It has to inspire us to come together. We have to cry out to Hashem. We have to unite together and cry out to Hashem. And when we cry out to Hashem, we do tshuva. So then we have the merit of our patriarchs and matriarchs. Hashem will have mercy on us. And Higi Hazman Geulaschem, and Meretz Hashem, the time of our redemption has arrived. And we'll be zeicha very, very speedily to the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu. B'mheira, u'b'yameinu. Amen. L'chaim.